long, so it goes over too quick. Praise God. We're good if there's another couple of verses to it. But let me sing the hymn, Jesus Was Slain For Me on Calvary. After we said it, then we'll ask Brother Samuel to come with the word. Sorry, Matthew. Jesus was slain for me on Calvary. Jesus was slain for me on Calvary. On it before was he Calvary, wherein I stand. There from his open side, poured forth the crimson tide.
Lord bless each and every one tonight. Maybe just bow our heads a moment before we open God's word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks tonight, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, has already been prayed, Lord, we lift up each and every one that's laid aside tonight, Lord, sick or downcast or whatever it may be. Lord, I pray that they'll know the touch of the Master's hand. Lord, like this woman that day that walked just by your side and just but touched the hem of your garment. And Lord God, we know tonight, Lord, that if we can just but touch you, if we can just get to Jesus, that all will be well. Lord God, we lay all at your feet tonight and we lay everything in your hands, Lord. And we say, Lord, tonight, let your name be exalted and uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, tonight to uplift your name and glorify your name and give you thanks, Lord, for you have done great things. We're off. We are truly glad. Lord, pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you'll help me step aside. Lord, I pray that you'll encourage someone tonight, Lord, that you'll help someone tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll lay a straight path out, Lord, before their feet tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I give you thanks, Lord. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, you'll take over now, Lord. Let me step aside, Lord, and take over this service now, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, maybe this will be a wee bit in keeping with what Tommy was talking about this morning. They maybe should have just went all ahead. It's maybe a similar idea, but making choices and making decisions. So, tonight, we'll turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 8, and this is actually going to be, I suppose, like the title on the whole thing, maybe all in one. Jeremiah chapter 8, and I was just thinking of this today. I went up early this morning and I was reading and thinking about it, and this sort of come to my mind. Jeremiah chapter 8, and we'll read verses 20. You know, I often think of this one There's a man we used to work with, and he would have quoted this from time to time. I always thought it was a good portion of scripture. The harvest is past. The summer has ended, and we are not saved. I think that's very much in keeping with what Tommy was saying. You could very easily make the wrong choice. The summer could be over. Well, the summer is over, isn't it? We're now heading into the time of the year. We'll be heading towards autumn, and then we'll be heading into winter. And you know, it's very significant. The harvest is past. So it's getting to the point now, any men that keep livestock or anything like that, there's still a few men yet will maybe have to take another cut of silage or whatever, but most of the main harvest is now near enough gathered up as far as feed crop goes for cattle and all that. So that's all past. So you know, you can't now decide. The man with all the livestock can't now say, oh man, I better get my silo filled. He's too late. It had to be done. The harvest is past and the summer has ended. And if he hasn't enough things in, he'll not have nothing to save us, keep his stock going, like them people that get caught in droughts and things like that. But you know, outside of that, I've wrote down here, loss, regret of missed opportunities. Loss and regret of missed opportunities. When the summer's over, you might have said, I wish I had done this or I wish I had done that. And it's a bit like your life. Someday you might sit down and the summer of your life is past. And the harvest in your life is over. You might be sitting someday and say, I wish I had it done. Well, we all say that anyway. You know, no matter what happens in life, you'll always look back at something and maybe think, I should have done that differently. Or I wish I had done that. Or I wish I had known them what I know now. Many times you've heard that. But I want you to know tonight that you've got a choice. And I've seen a wee thing, a wee article about this here, and the man wrote down the significance of the end of the summer. In the ancient Near East, the end of the summer marked a critical point for preparation for the winter. The phrase for the summer has ended represented a lost opportunity and a final closing of the period for repentance and seeking God's help. When the summer is past in your life, I'm not saying if you're getting old, it doesn't mean you still can't. You can come to Christ at any time. But if you leave it too long, you might have left it too long. Someday it could be the last chance. Someday it could be the last day. And he says here the significance for not saved. The people's realization that they have not been saved highlights their persistent failure to turn back to God and leading to their current predicament. We know that Jeremiah here was weeping over the people. You know, a lot of places he lamented over the people, doesn't he? He was lamenting over how that the people had missed out on opportunities, how that the people had not turned to God, how that the people had turned down God. And is this not like today? We see on the natural, the summer is over. The harvest is over, but we're not yet saved. Can you say that tonight? Or can you say, I am saved? I have accepted Christ. I have taken in Christ. Isaiah chapter 40. I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 40 here in verses 6 down to verses 8. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 6 to verses 8. And it says, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Your life is just like a flower. It's just like the grass of the field. One day it's in bloom and everything's going great. You're in the prime of your life and everything's blooming and everything's going fantastic. It's harvest time. It's summer time. It's wonderful. But one day the flower fadeth and the grass withers, and the time's finished, the harvest is over, and if you're not saved, you're left in a predicament. You have been left in an awful situation. You might have made financial preparation. Did you ever see the things on TV? Get ready now for your death. Get your burial sorted out. This whole earth, get your finances to order. Get your will done. Get this done. Get that done. But what about Christ? Have Christ in your life. Don't care about what your friends say. Your friends will say it's not cool to be a Christian. It's not the done thing to be a Christian. They're all fuddy-duddies or something like that. But it doesn't matter about that. That won't help if you're standing on the day of judgment. God won't say, what did your friend say? He'll say, what did you do with the man called Jesus? What will you do with Christ? Amen. It's not what your friend said. You know, Tommy mentioned it. I did. I preached a message one time called Mind Your Own Business. Didn't they say, you know, when Jesus was talking to the man, then they said, what of this man? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. Basically, mind your own business. It's up to your every individual person to make their own decision. That's a lot of people today want to know all about you. They want to know your business. But you know, if you mind your own business, and sometimes people have got big problems, but if they look in the mirror, 90% of the problem is a boy looking back at you. Isn't it? Because sometimes you'll build up a complex in your own imagination. You might build an idea in your head that somebody has got something against you, or you might come up with some notion in your head. The enemy will put a seed in your mind to decoy you every time. He's good at putting up scarecrows, and a scarecrow, there's nothing in it, but it scares the crows away, doesn't it? But you know, I've seen fields of barley that had the scarecrows in them, but the crows twigged on. They realized that boy wasn't standing there with a shotgun. He was just a decoy. And they come in and they ate the crap anyway. But you know, sometimes God's people, they're still standing thinking that by his arm they can't go in there. This is dangerous. They don't realize that they've got something that's greater. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. When God's on your side, it doesn't matter what the enemy does. When you put on the helmet of salvation, then that stops the penetration of the enemy. And if you think that you can't do it, God's already done it for you. Like I said, how many people have missed opportunities and lost chances when they could have took them? The summer's over and we're not saved. It says that the summer is ended and we are not saved. We know a lot of people, all the children's back to school, everybody's going back to work. The summer is over now for everybody. But are you saved? Are you saved? Or is it all over and you never thought about Christ? Were you having enjoying yourself so much that you never thought about Christ in your life? Well, I want to put the challenge to you tonight. Think about Christ. Don't worry about the things of this world, because they'll just keep coming. The bills just keep coming. The work keeps coming. You have to get up every day. You have to keep going. And all them things can take over your whole life. Yes, you're thinking, I need to have money in place. I need to do this. I need to do that. But all that someday won't matter. If Jesus doesn't come someday, you'll be in the back of a machine going up the road to go into a hole in the ground. And that'll be it. Time will be finished on this earth for you. But if you make a decision for Christ, it'll not matter where they put you. Because if you've got eternal life, it's the eternal kind, and it'll take you back up out of the grave. Them boys making preparation, they'll get you in the ground, no problem. But they won't take you back out again. But Jesus Christ died and rose again, that we may have life. You know, after the winter's over, what's going to happen then? After the winter's over, there's going to be a springtime. And when the springtime comes, all the wee buds will start coming back on the trees and the life will come back up into them. Jesus is showing you there's going to be a resurrection. God showed us in nature. Didn't he show us the whole cycle? Didn't Job say about the plants, how that they go down and then they come back up again? And he says, a man goeth down, and where is he? And then he says, "Oh, that thou would hide me in the secret place until thy wrath is past." And then he had a realization. He says, "I know that I shall see my Redeemer." But if you're not saved, you can't say that. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you can't say you're going to see your Redeemer. You're taking a chance. Nobody can say what's going to happen to you, really. It's up to, between you and God. But we know that God laid out a prescription. You know, if you go to the doctor, they'll give you medication, but they'll give you a way of taking the medication. If you, like Tommy said about the soap, if you brought the soap home and left it in the wee box that come in, it never would do any good, would it? If your hands was rotten and you didn't take the soap out and get a bit of water and use it, it wouldn't do nothing. The same as the medication. If you brought the medication home, you could read all the leaflets, you could read all about it, you could know so much about what that medication does, but if you never actually open the box and take the medication, it won't do nothing for you. But Jesus Christ has laid it all out perfectly clear in his word. All you have to do is take the medication, repent of your sins, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Amen. That's it. So simple. You know, I want to turn here over now to the book of Acts. And I want to look at a man here who I believe missed an opportunity. And you know, there's never no more account of him ever getting another opportunity. We don't know. I don't know. There's no account in the Bible. It didn't ever say in the Bible that one day he actually done something about. He was pricked in his conscience. His conscience told him what to do. But he said, put that off for another day. Because I am in the summer of my life and I'm having a good time and I don't have time for God. That's the way people are today, isn't it? Maybe when you're enjoying yourself, you think, I don't need God. Sure, everything's going so well. I don't need God. But you know, he's always there. He's there. And you know, maybe when something actually does happen, then you have a realization how precious it is to have God in your life. You know, a lot of people talk to me about the different losses we have had in our lives. And you know, I said the one man I says, I don't know how any man would face anything like that without Christ. Because to have no hope, to go to a graveside and to stand there, it's a terrible day and it's a hateful thing. And it stays with you all your life. But when you go there and you know that there's hope, you know that someday that person that you laid down there, you're going to see them again. Because there's going to be a resurrection. But you imagine you went there and there was no hope. If you had the devil's message of evolution or the message of when you're dead, it's all over. That's what the devil wants you to believe. The devil wants you to believe that when it's all finished, that's it. But that's not it, because we know that Jesus went down into the deepest caverns of the dam and he led captivity captive and he showed us that there was a place called hell. But he also showed us when he went down there and he took the keys of death, hell and the grave, he was showing the world that I'm taking back control of everything. He took control of this earth. He took control of the underworld and he took full control of all the heavens, all the earth, everything's in his hands. He has got full control. But it says that the enemy goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's going about making a big noise. He's going about trying to scare people. Did you ever see how scared people were when they released the, like Donald Trump said, the Chinese virus or the virus, the COVID virus, how scared people were. People were terrorized and frightened. That's the way the enemy works. The enemy is going about like a roaring lion. You know, in the world wars that has been, the amount of death has been in this world. That's one time. Imagine if God just took away his hand one time. We've seen in the Bible when God lifted his hand off a man or lifted his hand off someone, how the situation went. You know, in Job's case, how that when God, he didn't lift his hand off his life, but he lifted his hand off all his substance and he let the enemy go in to test him. And look at what the enemy done to him. If the devil could get his hands on you, he would destroy you. He wants to destroy you. But God's standing there in the path. God's there in the way. And he's there to protect you. And the blood of Jesus Christ, plead the blood over yourself every day. It's a good remedy. Plead the blood of Jesus no matter what you're doing. Don't be ashamed to plead the blood of Jesus. Don't be ashamed to call God on the scene and say, I need your help now. And I know that he steps in. You know, he's always there to take control of the situation. Acts chapter 26, and we see here Paul is given an account of what happened to him. We know that Paul was a renegade, wasn't he? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. He was totally dedicated to that sect of religion. He was dead against Christianity, as it were. He was dead against the Christians. He held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. But one day, he had a visitation with Christ. Like Tommy said, he said many a time, it doesn't matter where you are. God can still get you. God can still reach you. Paul looked to be an unreachable character as far as being a Christian, as far as believing in Jesus Christ. He was as far away from it as you could get. Yes, he was a religious man, but he was far off from Christ. He didn't believe that he was going to persecute these men. But God stepped in. And I want to read here verses 24. And I'll read down to verses 29. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. When he told of how that he was travelling that day, and how that great voice spoke to him, and all the accounts that took place, he said, your head has went with learning. I remember I was at a place one day, and a boy said, religion near put my head away. He was telling another man, I was sort of listening in. And I said to myself, that does sound about right. Religion would put your head away. We see the results of religion. But you know, when you've got Jesus Christ, it's not just religion. When you have a born again experience, it's not a religious sect. It's not a rigmarole. It's not a lifestyle either. People say, oh, it's a change of a lifestyle. I'll change this. No. When Jesus Christ transforms your life, it's a transformation. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. When Jesus Christ takes over your life, he transforms it.
Amen.
He puts in you a new nature. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, there's power in you. But the devil wants to tell you you're powerless, you're helpless, you're weak, you're vulnerable. But God wants you to know that you're strong and you're able. You're more than a conqueror through Christ. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
Amen.
Tell the devil that. Like my dad that day when he walked in, he lifted that wee pen, he lifted it up and said, be still and know that I am God. After the enemy had said, how would God hear you standing there trying to pray with a pipe in your pocket? As far away from God as he could get. Turned his back on everything that he knew to be right. But God spoke to him through one wee verse. And when he held that up, he said, devil, take a good look at that.
Amen.
And God started to transform the situation. And we all know that there was a big change in his life, because when God brings back the backslider, he changes the situation right round. But you know, the devil wants to keep you in a wee lullaby land with one foot in and one foot out. And you don't know where you're coming or where you're going. But God wants you to know where you're going is. He has made a way for you. There's a mansion for you. There's a place prepared for you.
Amen.
And he has laid the road for you. We know here how Festus said to Paul, basically, your head is went. You've done that much reading. You've done that much learning. You've lost the plot. That whole story you're telling us doesn't make sense. But it says, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but spake forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. You know, people, you tell people of Brother Branham, and tell people about how God healed people. Oh, was there much evidence about that? Like, was there much, would there be much? Is there much what? Seriously, like, what have you said to somebody? Hey, boy, could you find out how to do something on a car? Oh, well, we'll go on to Google here. We'll Google her up now. Yeah. You can find anything you want. Yeah. But you know, I know if you do go in now and type in something, you might get a load of rubbish. Sometimes it's hard to dissect the rubbish from the truth. Like, have you ever trying to do something on your car yourself or trying to fix something mechanically and you go on to YouTube? Sometimes it takes the boy half an hour before he figures out to actually tell you what you went on to find out. Instead of getting to the point, but you can find the information. But it depends how you're going to approach it. All the information is in the Word of God without looking at anything else anyway. This Bible is full of countless sources of evidence that God can heal, that God can deliver, and that he never changed his mind about his word, or he never stopped healing, or he never stopped saving. It's full of it. But people would say, there's maybe not much evidence. Like we see Festus here, I would say he was one of these boys that said, I would need to see it to believe it. But we'll see here that, Paul says then, he says, for the king knoweth of these things, for before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest the prophets. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. But as I say, no matter where you read on through the book of Acts, you never ever find out of one time that King Agrippa ever decided. And he went on to say that he would maybe call him some more convenient time to talk about this matter, because at the minute it wouldn't suit his agenda. Now is the time. The summer's over. Now is the time. Today is the day. Don't say tomorrow. Don't say next week. Don't say in a month's time, once I get my ducks in a row. Everybody's talking about, I have to get my ducks in a row before I can do this or that. Don't worry about that. Come as you are. Christ receiveth sinners. Amen. Isn't that what it said? Didn't the old Pharisees look at him and say, oh, this man receiveth sinners? They didn't like it, because he received sinners. But that's good for me and you, isn't it? Because when we were lost and undone without God's only Son, he reached out and saved us. Amen. He receiveth sinners. But we see here old Agrippa and old Festus, they all sat there and they said, I don't know what to make of that story. And I like, if you told people today about how God healed a man or done something, you know, my dad had the pleasure. He went over to one of Marcella's meetings and he actually met a young man who had been drove over by a bulldozer. And his leg was completely cracked. It was either a bulldozer or a heavy machine of some description. And his leg was completely destroyed. And they brought his mother in and they said, we have to amputate his leg because it's going to fester and kill him. We cannot fix it. It's completely ruined. And his mother said, no, don't touch him. Give me a chance. And she got to one of Brother Branham's meetings, or she got in touch with Brother Branham some way, and she got a prayer cloth, and she took that prayer cloth and she put it on him, and God completely healed him. And my father met that man, and you know, he said he had read about it, and he often thought, wouldn't it be nice to meet a man like that? And he met him. And at that same meeting, Marcella brought a man up, and he sat him down in two chairs, and your man had one long leg and one short leg. One leg was, it had been damaged at some time, his leg had withered, and he had to wear a shoe. And he seen him before he went into the meeting, and he had a boot with a big heel and a boot with a small heel, because he had one leg shorter than the other. And when they brought him up, Marcella said, now for all you people that think that God's dead, I want you to watch this now. He had faith and he believed God, that God could do the impossible. It was medically impossible. All the medical people could do was put a wee bit on, put a patch in, try and keep him going. But when Marcella prayed for him, my dad said his leg done that, and he shot out of the seat like a bullet and done laps around the building in his bare feet. He was completely healed. But the devil will want to tell you that's not for today. God can't do this. God can't do that. Why can God not do it? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the one that laid the foundations. He's the one that made everything you see out of stuff that doesn't even appear. He can do anything if we've got faith in him. Only believe, all things are possible. I want to turn our Bibles here to Matthew. I think this is another good account of a man here who actually was standing right at the life source himself and missed an opportunity, I believe. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, and we'll read verses 16 down to verses 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Is that not like today? You know, there's people today, and you'll talk about salvation, and they'll think, there's some people really, honestly, genuine, and they'll want to go and they want to find a book, or they want to find some way how that they can read about figuring out how to be a Christian, or they want to figure out, they're naturally thinking, I could study this all out. If I could study this all out, I'll know all about this, and I'll be good. I'll do everything I can do. Like my dad said, you know, he went to the church, and the man brought him into the back, and he said, do you promise to be a good boy? Oh, he says, I do indeed. Well, you're hardly going to say, oh, I'm going to be a delinquent, like. Do you know what I mean? You're going to say, I'm going to do my best, yes. But it doesn't matter why you're going to be a good boy or a good girl. That won't take you to heaven. But it doesn't mean you're going to get saved and then be a rascal, either. But, you know, you're going to say, oh, I'm going to do my best. But, you know, it wasn't until God moved upon him and he couldn't sleep at night. He was walking the floors, and my grandma took him to the hot doctor, and the doctor said there's nothing wrong with him. But there was. Conviction was wrong with him. Amen. And one day he realized. One day he said he was standing down the orchard where the pigs and all were, and he realized that he needed to be born again. And he got down on his knees and he asked Jesus Christ into his life. And he said a weight lifted off him. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you take Christ, it's not a weight in your life. It's a weight off your back. Amen. He will take your burden for you. Lay your burdens at Jesus' feet and he carries your burdens. He's your burden bearer. If you've got a burden, lay it down now and give it to Jesus Christ and tell him, Lord God, fix the situation and turn it around for me in Jesus' name. Heal my body, whatever it is needs done. Ask him to do it for you and he can do it. He's willing to do it. He's able to do it. But what's wrong is, we're figuring out how this could all happen, how it could all be done. But Jesus has already done it for us. This man, this young man came. And he probably come with good intentions. It sounded like he come with good intentions. He said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments, he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Like, you know, like Tommy said about your woman in the bakery. She was a good woman. She probably went to church. She done good things. And he was a rascal. She had been telling her about what he had done. And she was saying, goodness sake, that boy needed saved. But I don't need that. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. You know, you could sit down and say, well, I haven't done this and I haven't done that and I haven't done something else. You know what Brother Branham said the time he got shot in the leg, that everything that he ever did that was wrong come up before him. He realized he wasn't as good as he thought he was. Sometimes you sit and study the whole thing out and you think you're being a good lad, but you might think of something that you've done that you shouldn't have done. It might only be some wee silly thing, but it doesn't matter. Sin's sin. That's why, didn't Jesus say, you know, like your man that speaks in the street, doesn't he say to people, what's the Ten Commandments? And he goes through all the commandments, and somebody has broke some one of them. No matter who you are, you'll have broke some of them. You've told a lie, or you've stole something, or you've done something may not have been no real big thing, but still you've committed sin. But outside of all that, you're born in sin. You're a sinner from the day you're born. That's the problem. There is a death sentence on you from the day you're born. Like the old saying is, like the government puts a sentence on you. You're born free and taxed to death. You're born free and then they tax you to the day you die. And then when there's anything left, they'll tax it too. So you're born free and taxed to death. But you're born with a death sentence on you because there's sin in you. No matter what you've done. Like the baby hasn't done anything. The baby physically hasn't done anything wrong at this point, but he's still a sinner. Now, I don't know. I know people say, I know the Catholic Church believe if a baby wasn't sprinkled or anything and anything happened to him, they mightn't be saved. Well, I don't know. I can't see how that God wouldn't give somebody an opportunity. You know, God knows the end from the beginning, so we don't know them things. It's not for us to say if anything happened to a child or anything like that. There's nobody can say what, if, or what. I believe that the child would go to heaven. In my opinion, I believe that God would not, he's not an unjust judge. Let's put it that way. How would he be unjust? He gives everybody an opportunity. But if you've been given an opportunity and don't take it, you've missed your opportunity. You've lost it. And someday you'll regret it. But this young man, here he come. And he said to him, he says, I have done all these things. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. And it says, and when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, when he got the remedy, he didn't really want to know then, did he? But Jesus just said to him, sell all that you have then, and come and follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven. But you know, it's so much preparation made here, that didn't sound like a good deal. But you know, I've never heard anybody else talking about this. But you know, I heard one time Oral Roberts talked about it, and he said this young ruler was the rich man later on in the Bible. And we're going to turn to that now. We're going to turn to Luke. I'm going to have to come to a close soon, but we'll turn to Luke. We'll turn here to Luke chapter 16. Now, that young man went away that day, and again, I don't know where this doesn't maybe tie in, but it sounds feasible, doesn't it? That this could be the same character, but there's no talk of this man ever then deciding someday down the line, I will do that. I will follow Christ. He went away and thought his earthly possessions was worth more than his heavenly possession. You know, like the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? It doesn't matter how much wealth or what you do on this earth. You can't say someday, I have enough saved up now, I'll buy my way into heaven. That's not going to work. There's only one way to getting into heaven. And it's open to everyone. You don't have to pay your way in. You don't have to do nothing. You know, I remember my grandmother saying about a woman that lived not that far from them. And she needed something. And some of them said to her, why would you? And she says, oh no, I'm still paying for her brother to get out of purgatory. The creditor was gearing her money up and paying. The Church of Rome was gearing the money into the coffer saying, well, make up a law and tell them that if you don't pay, you'll be stuck in limbo land. And then after they got enough money gathered up, they closed limbo land down. It didn't need any more. They'll figure out another way of getting money of people. But you know, that's what people think. If you say to somebody, there is people, do it. Crawl up a mountain in your bare feet and your hands and your knees and half kill yourself and that'll get you there. They'll try it. But here, this is how simple it is. Don't go nowhere. Stand where you are and say, ask the Lord into your life and you're saved. How simple is that? But that's too simple for the human mind, isn't it? Then they thought, it couldn't be that easy. Well, it is. Ask Jesus Christ into your life and he'll save you and transform you. If you're genuinely sincere about it, he'll do it. We see here in Luke chapter 16 and verses 19. And we'll read maybe down to I might read it all down. Everybody knows it anyway. It's all very familiar portions of scripture, but I think it's in keeping. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. You know, I often thought it was a good one. There's no mention of who the rich man is. He's not mentioned. But Lazarus, the beggar, is mentioned, isn't he? There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Why, he had a very low status, hadn't he? He was a down and out. He had nothing. But this other boy had everything. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. Now I want you to see something else. You know, today it's not popular to talk about hell. People don't want to let anybody know. That's too rough. Do you know, today people are lapped up in cotton wool. Don't offend anybody. Don't be too rough. Don't be too... Sometimes you just have to say it like it is. A spade's a spade, is a good saying, isn't it? Don't try to butter it up. Say it how it is. You know, a man that speaks his mind sometimes is a lot better than a bluffer. A boy that'll... what I'd call sweet lips will tell you anything that you want to hear, but won't tell you the truth. That's a deceiver. And we know where that come from. A boy or a person that's a deceiver, you know where that come from. There was a boy in the Bible, and we see plenty of accounts of him. He was a deceiver, and he was a sweet talker. But you see, the outcome of that led to death and destruction. But when you speak the truth, if you tell it, the truth, you can tell it the same way every time. It doesn't change. When you tell the truth one time, the story doesn't change. And it says, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus even evil things. But now he is comfortable, and thou art in torment. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There's no return at this point. Now I believe that when Jesus died and went down and took them keys of death, hell and the grave, I believe that this dominion now is probably different than this now in my belief. I believe that God has made a way. This here was a pathway made before the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ took place, because they were working under the old covenant at this point. There must have been some place that wasn't quite the same until Jesus went in, because it says that when Jesus went down and he released ones in hell, but also when he rose, that there was Old Testament saints rose up out of the grave as well. So he changed the situation even. It's greater, easier, let's say. But you know, R. Roberts, he said, he believed that this was this young ruler later on in life. He never had done nothing about it. He had went, he had seen Jesus, but he had spent his whole life and built up his wealth, and now he's found himself in hell. And then he goes on to say, you need to send somebody back to warn my family. But Abraham said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Because he said, even if one rose from the dead, they wouldn't want to hear it. Well, is that not true today? If you told someone of an account of someone being raised from the dead, even though there was plenty of multiple witnesses and plenty of evidence to prove it, people would say that's nonsense. That man's a head case. That's what they would say. But it's in the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the life giver. You know that man, He spent his whole life, the other man spent his whole life in a very low station. But the rich man was in a very high standing. But it didn't do him any good at the end of the day. Now, that doesn't mean that if you've got God in your life, you can't be rich, because we can go through the whole Bible and see that there's men in the Bible who done well and had plenty and still believed in God. But you know, we've got the other side of the coin today where people just preach prosperity. But that's because a lot of them boys want their private jet and their big fancy houses. They want you to throw the money in full tilt so they're living a great lifestyle. But whether it's all genuine or not, I don't know. A lot of it doesn't seem very genuine. But at the same time, God can prosper you. I want to finish by Hebrews. I was going to also go to the man that took an opportunity. I was going to say John 3 and verses 3. We know that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, but Jesus explained to him what he had to do. Nicodemus was another smart man. And he came to Jesus trying to figure out, because he knew there was something about him. And Jesus said to him, Jesus gave him the remedy of what he needed. You must be born again. And we know also in John 3:16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn you. But the devil's saying, oh, you couldn't match up to that standard. You don't have to match up to any standard. Come as you are. This man receiveth sinners. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. There's countless evidence. Don't miss an opportunity. Don't wait to the day when the summer's over and you're not saved. When the summer's over, be ready. Get ready. Like Tommy said this morning, you have to make a decision. Choices have to be made. Make the right choice. Choose Jesus Christ. Let's just stand a moment. We'll bow for a moment and then Tommy can come. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you have made a way and that your word is clear. Lord, that we don't have to be confused or anything. But Lord God, we thank you that you have made a way that we can come unto you through your one and only Son, your only begotten Son. That true sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice that ever could be. Lord God, we thank you for tonight, Lord, for that precious blood. Lord, I plead that precious blood over each and every one in this building tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help each and every one, Lord, to make a decision. Lord, for those that maybe have not accepted you, for those, Lord, that are wavering and wondering what to do, I pray, Lord, that you'll help them to make the right decision. Let them now be determined. Lord, let them not waver. Let them not turn aside. Don't let them look to the left or to the right, but let them look to the center cross tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll give them strength, Lord, for all these young people, Lord, going through school and everything. I pray that you'll be with them. Lord, I pray that you'll block every attack of the enemy that would try to come up against them. Lord, I pray that you'll keep them, Lord, under your wing, Lord, and keep them as the apple of your eye. Protect them, Lord, for those that are taking a stand for Christ. I pray, Lord, you'll help them every day, Lord. Lord, give them strength to withstand every wild of the enemy. Help them, Lord God, to stand against anything that he throws at them. And Lord, I pray that you'll be their brigade, that you'll be their protector. Lord, I pray you'll bless each and every one of them, Lord, in Jesus' name, and keep your hand upon them. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus now, Lord. Touch and heal, Lord, for any that has an ailment or any condition. Lord, we have pronounced that you are a healer. And your word says that you are a healer. And that you are a deliverer. And that you are a savior. Lord, I pray that you will save. That you will heal. And that you will deliver, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pronounce it over the people, Lord. We pronounce it over every situation, Lord. Lord, we ask you to come, Lord, and be in our life every day to lead us and to guide us. Lord, I plead the blood over each and every one this week that lies ahead. Lord, protect, Lord, and guide, and keep your hand upon us, and help us, Lord, to be mindful of the things of Christ. Help us, Lord, to not let our mind be took aside with anything, but help us, Lord, always to be thankful and to be mindful for the great sacrifice that you have done for us, Lord. Lord, tonight we can never give you thanks enough, Lord. But Lord, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your precious blood, Lord. Thank you for your Son. And thank you, Lord, for your saving power. And thank you, Lord, tonight for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, for your delivering power, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you have done for us, Lord. Tonight we are indeed truly glad. Lord, I pray, Lord, I commit the rest of this service into your hands. Lord, I pray that you'll help anything that was said amiss, Lord. Let it be taken out of our minds. Forgive me, Lord. But anything, Lord, from you that you would want anybody to know or hear, let it be in their thoughts, Lord. I pray that something will work in somebody's mind, Lord, and help them, Lord, this week that lies ahead, in Jesus' name, for the glory of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord bless each one. We'll get Gary to come and lead us in a few songs, and then we're going to get Samuel to pray for me. I need a touch from the Lord in my stomach. Went seeing the doctor. They talk about your red line, and they'll send you straight away. But I'm waiting near a year, and I'm sick waiting. So I'm going to get prayed for and believe God, because I'm wasting my time any hour road by the look of it. And they could do it, but I don't know what's going on with the whole thing. If you're probably from a foreign country, you could come in and they'd see you tomorrow. And not only would they see you, they put you up in a hotel and pay for it. But if you're born or reared here, you'd have to look after yourself. That's the way this country's went. But I'm looking to the Lord, and I'm going to get Samuel to pray for my stomach. One doctor says it's torn muscles, or people think it's rupture. So I don't know which of the two it is, and not make no difference to God. He can heal it either route. Praise God. Don't forget our sister Carol's going to Scotland. Funny old Scotland, sister. I know you're looking forward to going over. Praise God. But keep sister Carol in prayer. She's going to see her mom, sister Rita. Rita's nearly 90. Nearly 90. And she's a great wee woman, you know. There's Irish in her somewhere, I'm convinced of it. Or Ulster. Tell her I've changed my mind. It's not Irish, it's Ulster. But I always keep Rita going that she's Irish in her. She's from here somewhere. But you know, I'll tell you this, and then I'm going to come down. Gary's going to come. It's the truth what Samuel's preached tonight. God done this. I can't really explain it to you. God really delivered Rita. You know, she got saved. She went to Ron's meetings in Scotland, in Glasgow. And I was never in her house. And I met her. And I told her every single thing she had in her house. Right down to the colour of the wallpaper. And she couldn't believe it. She said to me, when were you in my house? I says, you've never let me in your house. I've never been through the door. But yet, I know everything that's in it. How do you know? I says, I can't explain that. God brought me into your house before I was ever in your house. And I've seen everything in the house. And she can tell you that's the truth. And what I told her helped her, and the Lord blessed her, you know. And then when I was up in Aberdeen preaching, I told the people up there, and Carol knows that's the truth, I said, God will remove the candlestick from up here. And she had to leave Aberdeen. And there were no meetings. And they closed. And some people went to Glasgow, and they're still going on with the Lord. But the ones that stayed for the word backslid, and they're still backslid. Because they didn't obey God. God can speak, we have to obey it. And thank God he can speak. It's true tonight. Don't wait any longer. Come now. Make the right choice. God bless you. Your brother Gary comes. Don't forget Thursday night, 7:30, our prayer and Bible study. And we've been going through the Gospels. Christ healing in the Gospels, then the book of Acts. Then we're in the Epistles on Thursday night. And I don't know where we'll be this Thursday night. But you pray that the Lord will help. Amen. God bless you. Come on, brother. God bless you. And anyone else wants prayer, you come as well. You come ahead and work as well. Pray myself over there. Tell you to pray for me.
Amen. Come to the Saviour. Make no delay. Hear His word. He has shown us the way.